Global trends such as urbanization, digitalization, or changing economic patterns put increasing stress on the use and management of water resources. However, they may also come along with opportunities for increased water sustainability. Identifying and assessing the emerging challenges and opportunities is becoming ever more important in order to ensure water security and sustainable water systems in the future. The Trend Observatory on Water of the Swiss Agency for Development Cooperation, in short SDC, informs SDC's Water Network Réseau and all interested parties about important emerging trends and innovative approaches.
Hello and welcome to the podcast series of SDC's Trend Observatory on Water. I am your host, Annika Kramer. I'm head of the water program at Adelphi, a Berlin-based think tank implementing the Trend Observatory for SDC. In today's episode, we want to reflect on the achievements of the UN Water Conference from a youth perspective. One of the global trends that we observe is demographic change in societies. While societies in the industrialized countries are getting older and older, young people under 35 still make up more than half of the world's population. And in the least developed countries, the total number of youth is even expected to increase by more than 60% until 2050. These young people are among those that are hardest hit by the water and climate crisis. And that's why young people worldwide are requesting more participation in decision-making. In the global water arena, this became very clear in the run-up to the UN Water Conference. A global youth movement for water was formed and put forward their claims to the conference, for example, in the Fill Up the Glass campaign. Today, we want to reflect whether youth indeed got their rightful place in the UN Water Conference, what youth activists are planning to do to hold decision makers accountable to their water commitments, and what actions they are planning to implement themselves in order to contribute to a more water-secure world for all.
And for this, we have invited three young water activists that took part in the UN Water Conference in New York. We have with us Charlotte Quinn, Fatou Mbo, and Noémie Plumier. Welcome to the Trend Observatory podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Hi, everyone. Before we start, I would like to ask all three of you to briefly introduce yourself. So maybe we can start with Charlotte. Can you give us a quick insight into your background and your connection to water?
So my name is Charlotte Quinn. I am a Geneva-based artist whose mission is to help us understand water in an embodied way and perceive water as this substance that is life-giving and so essential to what life is. So my art is actually to bring different narratives about water to the surface, even though I do have a background in physics, design and engineering, but currently my main medium is painting and public performance, all about water. So that's me.
Thank you. That's very interesting. Fatou, how did you become a water activist?
Yeah, hi, my name is Fatou Mbo. I'm like a water engineer at core. And besides that, I'm involved as the African focal point of the World Youth Parliament for Water and as the co-founder of the African Youth Parliament for Water. And yeah, my connection to water. So basically growing up into the Western world while constantly visiting my country of origin in the developing world called Senegal constantly reminded me of a harsh contrast that was actually a reflection of the importance of having a proper infrastructure, water and sanitation infrastructure. It intrigued that whole idea of, yeah, where does water come from and why is this kind of hindering a whole nation's socioeconomic productivity? And so, yeah, this is how my passion really developed, not only for water, but also for improving the water and sanitation infrastructure in Africa. So really taking responsibility for important problems in the world.
Yeah, definitely very important problems. Thanks a lot, Fatou. Noémie, what made you work on water?
So a lot of things, but I'll start introducing you a little bit myself. It might help. So I grew up in the south of France with a Canadian dad and a Spanish mom. So really the contrast between the cold, the salt and the fresh water, I would say. And that brought me during my activities as a child, as a teenager, near the sea, of course, scuba diving or just enjoying walk along the sea, picking up trash, plastic trash at school. And so I would say my first fall in love with water was with the beautiful Mediterranean Sea, along with my studies. I specialized in international environmental law and international relations, because I would like to pursue a career in hydro diplomacy. and protecting the environment.
Okay, thank you. And I think nowadays, Noemi, you are also very much involved in the World Youth Parliament for Water and the Global Youth Movement for Water. Can you explain a little bit these two initiatives and why do you think youth should have a prominent role in addressing the global water crisis?
Absolutely, yeah. So the World Youth Parliament for Water is a transnational advocacy network of volunteer young water activists and professionals who focus on action at the local, national, regional, and global levels. And we aim to contribute in accelerating the achievement of SDG 6, but also all kind of other water-related goals. And the profile of our members are very diverse. So you will find engineers like Hatu, researchers, students, advocates, and also some jurists and international relations specialists or policy specialists like myself. But we are all going for the same goal. We want a water secure world and a better future for all of us. And that's why we participated and will participate, of course, to different decision-making events and international spaces, such as conferences, conference of parties, forum, etc., etc. And at the last Water Forum in Dakar, the Global Youth Movement for Water was launched and the campaign, Fill Up the Glass, then unite 370 youth-led organizations and allies from 68 countries. And we are mobilizing around 110,000 people. So we are quite proud of it because we realized to advocate for water, it's really diverse. So we wanted to concentrate our messages under one umbrella for this campaign to be more impactful and powerful all together.
That's amazing. It's a huge movement that you managed to get together. I would like to know, what were your main claims from the perspective of youth that you had for the UN 2023 Water Conference?
Yeah, the UN 2023 Water Conference organized around 5 interactive dialogues. So we built our advocacy messages around those interactive dialogues because we wanted to be more effective, of course, and participate to the conversation that will happen during those dialogues. So the first one is on water for health and the emphasis on the respect and enjoyment on human rights to water and sanitation, especially for young women and girls. Then the second one is on water for development. And we asked for more funds to implement community-based water solutions for young innovators and entrepreneurs. On water and climate, we demand better education, training, skills, capacity building to tackle water and climate issues, ending in more green jobs opportunities for young people. And on water for cooperation, this one I'm quite proud of and thankful for all the support that I received from my peer because it was my idea that I launched. So it's called the 30-30-30 youth target. And we're pushing by 2030 for 30% of participation and meaningful inclusion in decision-making processes at all levels and all sector of young professional and advocate below 30 years old. And then finally, we believe that the appointment of a UN Special Envoy on Water should be paired with a UN Youth Envoy on Water, and that the Secretary General of the United Nations should also have a Youth Advisory Group on Water, because there is currently a Youth Advisory Group on climate that doesn't necessarily include water profiles. And we think water is key to all the SDGs. So that's mainly our demands.
Yeah, thank you. And I think you're very right. Water is so essential to all climate issues. So it should also be represented in a similar way. Fatou, with all these claims that you as the Youth Parliament for Water or the Global Youth Movement put forward, do you feel that these claims have been heard at the New York conference? And were there any specific claims coming from the African region, from the African Youth Parliament that you brought forward? And did you feel they were well represented?
So in terms of how the youth was represented or if they were well represented, I would say in terms of visibility and the opportunities that we had during the conference, I would say yes. So because we saw a lot of youth from different regions around the world. But it's hard to tell if our claims have been heard, as it's only like a week ago. But definitely in terms of the presence, yes, because also there were approximately, I think, over 200 side events that we like organized, and the youth had a significant part into it. And there was also like a significant presence of general public and participants of the conference within those youth side events. And so specific claims that came from our side, from the African region, was really to revitalize the 55 African youth policies. And to give a brief background, in order to get a strong voice from the African youth, we have realized that several things need to be done. But most importantly, we need to make an environment that reflects society. And so with Africa having more than 50% of youth in most countries and having a significant stake in the global water agendas, it means that if we activate the youth in Africa, this continent will be able to unlock its full potential to advance a significant part of the global water agenda. And so we were thinking how, because every single year we really propose thousands of projects in Africa. And while they have an impact, that impact is often time of short duration. And so how do we really create this long-term sustainable impact? And we thought by really having an official youth policy in each African country, something solid that the youth can rely on. And it's not necessarily only focused on water. Yes, it will be related to water, but it's mainly around their general development in terms of unemployment, education, health, and that's all linked to our water objectives, let's say. And so the thing is with the African Youth Policy, it's nothing new. The African Union actually launched a framework called the African Youth Charter back in 2006, but there is not really much progress. And so this is why we've started this initiative of revitalizing, bringing back these youth policies. And what we did to start with in preparation of the conference, we kind of did a small mapping exercise that looked at, are we aware of a youth policy in our country? Yes or no? And if there is a youth policy, cool. Are they basically addressing our key objectives, not only on the level of the African Youth Parliament for Water, but also on the level of the World Youth Parliament for Water? And so these three key objectives were, first of all, local action to be recognized in all the water sphere. Second of all, educational and professional opportunities to be improved and diversified. And thirdly, youth in decision-making to be the norm, not the exception.
Yeah, thank you also for pointing out the central role that water plays in very different spheres, like jobs, etc. Given the sheer number of young people in Africa, the importance of involving them more is so obvious. Challenge, where would you see the role of young artists in a global youth movement for water? Why do you think that art is important to promote more sustainable water management worldwide?
So first of all, I'm grateful for all the work that's been done to bring the visibility and presence of youth to the UN Water Conference this year. Without this effort, I would not have been there, because obviously I'm a young emerging artist. I feel really proud to be a youth at this conference and also as an artist. So your question, Anika, what is the role of young artists today in the global youth movements for water? And I believe that artists brings emotions and experiential knowledge to this conversation about water. And in my own experience coming from a scientific background to where I am now, I was looking at water. By the way, I've always been fascinated and obsessed about water since I was a child. But in the past, I felt like my relationship with water was distant. I was analyzing water, observing water, and trained as a scientist, but also as a designer who was problem solver. But somehow our idea of nature of water, it's more the textbook knowledge. It's distant. It's separating nature from us, separating us from water. We are water ourselves. We carry 99% water molecules, 70% water by volume. There's a lot of intuitive knowledge from ourselves being water. But somehow I can use this metaphor. The dams are built on our bodies. We're not flowing as rivers. We have so many rules, baggage, and burdens that we have put on our body over time as we're growing up, as we have adapted ourselves in different containers as a human being in this society. we forgot that we're living waters ourselves. We need to flow. So this is what artists brings to the table in terms of this global conversation about water. What is our personal relationship with water? So that's my take on me being a young artist in this global youth movement for water. And we need more people, not only artists, but everyone becoming artists for water.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And I think probably that's the little bit that can help to get people really into action if they feel that they are really connected to water and get this inspiration from art and also the feeling about water. Do you feel that there was room for that perspective at the UN conference?
Definitely. I was invited 3 times with the UNESCO Water Heritage events, and I was among many artists from different domains and activists who were speaking about water. Somehow, like people, we all speak the same language. So somehow that was a very reassuring and comforting experience to meet people in working in the same area from different countries. And I can imagine that if we can bring this presence, this voices and perspectives to many more youth-led dialogues, especially because I think youth have that flexibility to access these areas and bring it to more high-level meetings. And I was also the moderator for a youth-led dialogue between the high-level speakers, and more than 20 youth delegates were present at the conference. Obviously, my profession is an artist rather than a moderator for political discussions. So I was playing my role being the water. How do I cut people off when they're sharing something so emotional and passionate about what they're working on? And how do I leave freedom in this seemingly structured dialogue between high-level speakers and so many youth represents? So that was what I've been playing around. I feel really honored that I could be trusted to do my role. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Charlotte. It sounds like the UN conference really the special moment, bringing so many different perspectives together and including youth and art, etc. Noemi, now that this major event is over, what will be the next steps for the global youth movement and water? What do you expect from the head of states and other actors to follow up on this big event?
Thank you for asking this tough question. For sure, we can't stop here. It is actually just the beginning. It feels like everything is ahead of us. So now it is time to accelerate change and put some actions on the table. So therefore, yes, we will continue our advocacy efforts, and the next key international meeting that I am personally right now involved in is the SDG 6 session of the ECOSOC Youth Forum. And I suggested to push and pass these demands during the ECOSOC Youth Forum for the high-level political forum on sustainable development that will happen later this year. But then others from the global youth movement, they will, for example, attend some COP, and they will bring those youth demand from, let's put a label like the water youth, and then other will also just defend it in their workplace. I've met a young guy, and he is working in a company in the Netherlands, and he just said that he started to assess within his company, working with HR, how many percentage of young people below 30 years old are included and working in the company. And then they realized that they were really far from those 30%. And this is not good, even in terms of inclusion, in terms of ideas, in terms of innovation, in terms of so many positive things could happen if there would be more young people involved. And so, yeah, we have to just be consistent, carry those demands. If individually and collectively, we put pressure on state representative, on others actors, it is our rule. Like, we must lobby, we must find allies to defend those positions. We must try the best strategies to include it in policies like FAT is doing with the African Youth Parliament for Water and the Youth Policy. Yeah, that's what we need to do. And secondly, what we expect from then the head states and other actors, not only in our demands, it's also just to respect their promises. Reach out to us and see us again as a great potential force to have alongside, but we will also be there to remind them and hold them accountable. And in my position as facilitator of the partnership working group, I will make sure that I will also follow up on what our partners, our current partners, brought as a commitment during the UN Water Conference, but also all the way until the end of the UN Water Decade, because we are still halfway through. There's 5 years more. So as I said, the best is yet to come. So let's start to work.
Yeah, thanks also for pointing out how you are going to continue lobbying for youth involvement in water at the high policy level, at the international UN level, at the high level political forum, conference of the parties, COPs that you mentioned. Fatou, what does it need in order to allow youth to be part of the solution on the ground? What needs to be done?
Yeah, actually, several things, but to just focus on two key points. Firstly, I do think we need to refocus when it comes to working towards our objectives, basically taking the action, because usually we have 25-year visions, let's say, as youth organizations. And whenever it comes to actually starting to tackle this vision or objectives, we actually don't know where to start because it's too big to tackle at once. And so in order to like track our progress easily, but also getting results, why don't we think about shorten our timeline of our objectives? Why don't we focus, let's say, just for a year on one simple objective? I feel like getting smaller results will become a more effective chain. And although I do think that all these conferences are necessary, especially getting several people from different parts of the world together and getting partnerships out of it, it still stays a more talkative platform. So we're really hoping that moving forward, we're actually going to focus finally on our actions, short-term objectives, let's say. And then the second part is forming effective coalitions, because a water issue is not only a water issue. There are so many water impacting sectors, just to name a few, like agriculture, fashion, mining, energy production. And we oftentimes tend to focus only on the directly related water organizations, although all these other organizational sectors that I've just mentioned might have a bigger impact on it. And so one of the things that we want to see is really the support towards creating a solid database, youth organizations that are focusing on water matters or matters that are indirectly related to water. So within the context of the African Youth Parliament for Water, we're kind of focusing the coming year in really creating that solid and accessible database about the presence of all water impacting youth organizations across several sectors. So in that way, moving forward, we can actually start by creating that implementing workforce for helping to implement all youth policies.
Thanks also for pointing out the need to build coalitions and to provide the information so that people can form interest groups and really connect to other sectors as well. And also pointing out to the fact that long-term goals are nice, but we also need to get started and work on the little things and get started with something. So Charlotte, what will be your next steps?
Thanks for this useful question, because I have been just resting and digesting this powerful experience. And I will be having an exhibition in May in Geneva, and the title is called Sacred Waters. I have a feeling that, like Fatou had, this water crisis links to many other aspects in our current living situations. But I also felt like water crisis links to a spiritual crisis and how we have disconnected spiritually from nature, from Mother Earth. So through water, I'm trying to build this bridge. It's been several years now since I've been realizing my work and the language to put it together, to communicate to the world. Moreover, there is this initiative that I have started with several colleagues in Geneva in 2022, just more than a year ago. It's called Meeting of Waters. And this is a citizen art toolkit. We often talk about citizen science, but citizen art is what I envision, because as I said, everyone has an art is living in us. And I'll be really interested in bringing this method to more water professionals, especially youth professionals, who still have this power, emotions in us, whether we're working as an engineer or policymaker and the emotions comes in different aspects in our lives. So this is a way of basically we'll be creating a safe space to allow people to express their emotions around water. And we did that in New York after the conference, just in Central Park. And we had a lot of people come in and go, just curious about what happened on this 5 meter roll canvas. And I was creating a river in the middle of it. And it was raining outside and some people pass by and stop and chatted with us, and they share their stories about rivers, their connection with waters. There's some tears being shed. Yeah, it was beautiful. I really love to see more of that being expressed and bringing this method to a bigger audience.
Thanks very much to all three of you for sharing your perspectives. I really wish you all the success for your activities, and please continue to make sure that youth indeed gets the prominent place it should have in water management and decision making. Thanks again and goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for this amazing, inspiring conversation.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you would like to learn more about the topic of today's podcast and other important trends for the water sector, check out our Trend Observatory on Water website. You will find the link in the description. Thank you for tuning in and goodbye.